Open your Bibles to John chapter 16. The Gospel of John chapter 16. Let's stand and read it. The 15 verses, I'll read the first, you read the second, and so on through 15. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But now I go my way to him that sent me. None of you asketh me, whither goest thou? Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come.
He shall glorify me, for he shall receive mine, and shall show it to you.
All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, he shall take of mine, and will show it unto you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the blessings you've given us, and the guidance you've given us in your word. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit of God that indwells us. Help us, Lord, to be submissive, attentive. Let us be quick to hear, and let us be quick to obey. Give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give, and touch some hearts and lives in here today. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. John 16, I may be doing more teaching than preaching, but any good teaching has to have some good preaching in it. And any good preaching has to have some good teaching in it. So you mix them up a little bit. But at any rate, I just had a burden to teach and preach on the Holy Spirit today. You know, the thing that really makes a difference in all of our lives is the Holy Spirit. And he's there to guide us and teach us. And we look throughout the word in the New Testament and it shows us all of these different things that he does for us. He even prays for us when we don't know how to pray. He guides us. He leads us. He answers questions for us. He tries to put us on the right road all the time. What he says here, look at verse 7. Nevertheless, I'll tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. Now that's Christ. And he's saying, I'm going to have to leave you. It's necessary. For everything to work out the way God wants it to work out, I'm going to have to leave you, or else the Comforter won't come. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. You see, actually, the Holy Spirit is Christ living in you. Christ went back, but he comes in the sense of the form, in the manifestation of the Holy Spirit of God. That's why Paul can talk about it, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's your only hope of glory. Not your righteousness, not your goodness, not your works, not how much you've paid, how much you've done. It's Christ in you. And what a blessing that is, that Christ could be in us. What a difference it will make. So he's saying, if I go not away the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, which lives inside of us, and living inside of us can touch us and move us, change us, are you different than what you were before you were saved? I am. Wow. Can God change you in one day? Yes, he can. He can change your whole direction. He can change your whole mindset. What a difference has been made in a life. Now, I don't know how many times I heard good preaching in my life before I got really saved. But all of a sudden, there was that one time, that one place. It wasn't like anything else I'd ever experienced. All of a sudden, God, the Holy Spirit, touched me, and I knew I was touched. I knew God moved upon me. I knew there was a change in my life. And that's when God, the Holy Spirit, does the job. Walking down an aisle, joining a church, getting baptized, turning over a new leaf, quit smoking, drinking, gambling, cussing, that won't save you. It may be your experience because you've gotten saved, but that doesn't save you. It takes the Holy Spirit of God touching your life, changing your mind. As I preached, I think it was last week, it's not outside in. Out here, I do these things. I go to church. I keep the commandments. I help little old ladies across the street. I give money to the poor, whatever. These outside things don't change you. The way God has it set up is he changes your heart. And the heart from the inside changes everything as it goes out. So here we have, the Comforter will not come unto you. Well, let's look at his job. Look at verse 8. And I can spend a lot of time in John 16. There's an awful lot taught here about the Holy Spirit, but I have other places I want to go. When he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now here's the purpose of the Holy Spirit of God and him residing in you and residing in preachers and teachers and missionaries who carry the gospel, who've been called of God especially to spread the word of God around the world. He's going to reprove the world. Now the world doesn't like being reproved. Have you ever noticed that? Your children don't like being reproved. I imagine you've noticed that. Nobody likes it. You know, being a preacher, you suffer a lot of criticism. Every week somebody likes what you say and somebody doesn't like what you say. It's like a coach. As long as you're winning, everything's okay. If you're playing the right boys. But if you don't do the things the way some people want you to do them, then they're going to criticize you and they're going to ship you out, send you somewhere else a little down the line. There is all this criticism. Now, criticism generally makes us mad. We don't like people to be critical of us. And yet, you know, you need to listen to your criticism. That might be closer to the truth than your friends. Your friends tell you how good you are and how much they love you and, oh, what a blessing you are. And somebody that really doesn't like you too well, he sees this boil right on the end of your nose. You don't see it. Nobody else sees it. Your friends don't see it or they ignore it. But this guy points out, you got a boil on the end of your nose. Why don't you take care of that? You need to listen to some of that criticism because some of it might reveal a few places you're lacking. Now the Holy Spirit of God is going to criticize you. He's going to tell you some things you're not doing right. He's going to let you stay awake about half the night over what you said. Didn't say the right thing in the right way. Yes, sir, it can happen. And by the way, listening to your critics is a very good idea. And I have, at first, I would get mad. It would upset me. And then I begin to think, well, you know, maybe I need to listen to that. And so I paid attention to it over the years. And sometimes they're right. Sometimes they're just sorry people. Aren't those the kind of people that criticize you? Sorry people, right? Anyway, when he's come, he will reprove the world. Now, how is he going to reprove the world? Through you. He indwells you. The Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you. And he's going to be offended when somebody's taking the name of Christ in vain. He might have you say something like, "Do you eat with that mouth?" Or some other comment. Now, I am, and I know you are this way. It happens to us. I don't say something every time I'm offended. I overlook it many, many times. I was in the elevator at a hospital this week, and this girl had a low blouse, and she had tattooed across her, ready for whatever. And she just had a little mesh over her breast. She had an ample bosom, and it was just a little mesh. You knew you saw plenty of bosom. And I went back and forth in my mind in that elevator, what should I say or what should I not say? I got to thinking I'll just keep my mouth shut this time. I'm liable to get myself in real trouble. Ready for whatever. Well, is it with whomever? I just don't know. I don't understand some of these things. Some of the things people wear, it blows my mind. What they would write on the back of a coat, a jacket, and they got all these filthy words on it. What are you trying to tell people? Every once in a while, I'll go ahead and just step in, you know. What do you mean by that? Have you thought about what you're saying? Did anybody raise you? Did you ever get a spanking in your life? Did anybody ever teach you the English language? That's so you could express yourself without cussing. A lot of the new movies, they can't express themselves without cussing. It's just all cussing, even where cussing isn't even appropriate. You know, I can see someplace in a special part in a movie where they're all angry or whatever. Maybe they'd cuss each other, but no, they're just talking. It's just filth. Garbage. When he's come, he's going to reprove the world of sin. That's going to be by you. He lives inside of you. And he controls your emotions, your thinking. He speaks to you. He guides you. What he wants to do is touch this world through you. So you have to let the Holy Spirit guide you sometime to open up your mouth and get yourself in trouble. Because you just simply have to speak up. Now, he's not going to only reprove the world of sin. He's going to reprove the world of righteousness. I have met a few people in my ministry in these last 58 years of preaching that didn't think they were sinners. I had a girl, woman, that would sleep with some of the guys she dated, she wasn't married to, but she didn't believe she was a sinner. And I had an awful hard time. I don't know that I ever really convinced her she was a sinner. I dealt with her continually, but she had some experience, some religious experience in her background that made her turned off to the gospel. But God has got you and me filled with the Holy Spirit of God so that we can be sensitive to righteousness. Now, we don't meet much righteousness, do we? Is the average person righteous? I don't think so. I don't think we meet a lot of righteousness, really good people. And so we have to wake up. We have to take a look around. And what do we find in the world? Well, I find that everybody's a sinner, including me. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Wow. What a revelation. I used to sort of think that when I died, I'd sort of go up to heaven and God had put us in the scales. And if you were over 50, well, you'd go in. If you're under 50, you wouldn't get to go in. Now, I don't know where I got that. I have no idea. But it was a thought that I had. You know, you're sort of balancing yourself against the other 50% out here in this world. And how many of you are going to make it or not? Once I realized that everything I did nearly was sin. Even when I did some good, my pride ruined it. My self-satisfaction, my bragging on myself. Oh, I did good. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Who can convince you of that? I don't think hardly anybody can but the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit will use believers. He works through believers. He does not work independently of believers. He does not work independently of this book. The Holy Spirit uses this book. And He uses Christians to preach this book, teach this book, reveal this book, and get people to be conscious of their sin. I didn't think I needed the Lord until I realized I was a big sinner. But once that happened, wow, I needed the Lord. And this world needs the Lord. They don't know it. They don't know it, but they do. Okay, He's going to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness. Jesus' righteousness and your unrighteousness. And then of judgment. Oh, you talk about something we don't like to think about, it's judgment. You ever get sick before you go down to pay off a traffic ticket when you got to go down and talk to the judge? Do you like going before a judge? I don't like going before. I'm sure he's a good guy. But he's got too much authority. He's got too much power. I mean, he can take away my driver's license. He can put me in jail for the night if he wants to. He can fine me a great deal of money. We don't like judgment. Well, what he's going to reprove the world, he's going to let the world know you're going to be judged. You know why people don't want the idea of God? Judgment. There is somebody at the end of my life that's going to hold me accountable. Wow. We don't like that. But the Holy Spirit is making these three things clear. He's going to reprove the world of sin. He's going to reprove the world of righteousness. How holy is God? He's so holy, you and I couldn't come into His presence on our best day. And of judgment. Every idle word will be brought. God knows all the things that we've done and all the things that we think, all the things that we love, and all the things that we hate. And every bit of it's going to be brought into judgment. Now, there is the purpose. It is Christ comes to you in the form of the Holy Spirit of God. God is manifested in three ways. As the Father, Heavenly Father. As the Son, the Creator of all things. The one who died for all of our sins. And then He's manifested as the Holy Spirit. And boy, it's the same personality, the same traits in each one of them. Now, the way many people explain it, and it's probably the best they can, is three persons. I don't exactly see it as three persons. I see it as one personality in three manifestations. He manifests Himself in this way, and so on. At any rate, What that does is let us know that God is with us. He's with us every day. Now, the idea that you can hide anything from this God is just amazing to me. If you've even thought about these doctrines that this Bible teaches, or what it tells us about the Comforter, and how about Him being with us, in us? Well, you can't go anywhere. Well, get that thing turned off. I tell you, I would be ashamed of myself if I did not know a phone better than that, and it's my phone. See, and I don't know any phones anyway. Wasn't that fun? Now, when the Holy Spirit comes to us, it's an amazing thing what a difference He makes. Look in Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Peter is preaching. It's on the day of Pentecost. He's preaching to thousands of people in the open air. The Spirit of God has moved upon them. Look at verse 37, chapter Acts 2:37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." What shall we do? How many messages have you listened to in your life that didn't touch you that way? Lots of them. You heard the message. Maybe it was entertaining, maybe it wasn't. Whatever it was, it didn't move you to do anything. You walked out the same as you walked in. Didn't change your mind, didn't change your actions. But when the Holy Spirit of God moved upon these people here in Acts chapter 2, they say, "What should we do?" When the Holy Spirit moves on you, you're going to do something. It's going to be different. The Holy Spirit does not come in and not change you. If you claim to be saved, but you've never had a change in your life, you're probably not saved. Amen. With God living in you, that's different than you living in you. It makes a difference. Here they are, and I'm going to show you a couple of other places. Look, if you will, at Acts 9:6. Acts 9:6. The Apostle Paul hated Christianity, hated Christ, hated all the Christians, went around doing them great harm, all that he could, and he was a very zealous man. And he's on the way to Damascus to do the same thing. Well, Jesus confronts him in the highway. And look what he says in Acts 9:6. He, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Do you have an experience like that? Have you come to the place to say, "God, I'll do it, whatever you want me to do. Just show me. I want to please you." You didn't want to please him last year. You didn't want to please him last month. But all of a sudden the Holy Spirit of God moved upon you, and now you come to a point like Paul here to say, "What would you have me to do?" And the Lord told him what he wanted him to do, and we see this as the conversion of the Apostle Paul. But look at Acts 16:30. Acts 16:30. Paul is in prison. He and Silas have been singing hymns. And all of a sudden, God moves. And I mean, that prison is shook open. And the old jailer that was down there, I don't know how many times he got out of that dungeon. Doesn't sound like a good life to me. But his whole family's down there in that jail with him. And he gets ready to kill himself. If the prisoner escaped, they're going to torture him and beat him. He has a bad death coming. So he's going to kill himself. And Paul said, don't do it. And so he called for a light. He came in, he came trembling, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Look at verse 30. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do? What must I do? God, the Holy Spirit moves on you, you're going to want to do something. When God, the Holy Spirit moves into your life, you're going to want to do something with your family. You're going to want to do something with your job. You're going to do something with your money. You're going to want to do something with your kids. You're going to want to do something. Each of these scriptures I brought to you is, what must I do? What does God require of me? And God requires, first of all, repentance and baptism. Confess the Lord, repent of your sins, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Did you know that believers are different? They are. And the world knows it. Let me tell you what. The people that work with you, you profess to be a Christian, you go to church, you have a Bible, they expect you to be different. And if you're not different and they see you just like them, they'll despise you. They'll attack you. They'll make fun of you. They'll throw it in your face. Take a look at what Titus says. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Denying ungodliness. If you sit around and listen to all the dirty jokes and you cuss with the rest of them and you drink with the rest of them, they're not going to believe you're a Christian. At the most, they're going to think you're a hypocrite. They don't believe you've had a change. Now let me ask you this. Did you get changed? You better have got a change. God wanted you changed. God doesn't want you the way you were. He took you that way. He saved you that way. He cleansed you. He cleaned you up. And He changed you. Another verse along with this is 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 4. Peter's saying, wherein they, the world around you, think it strange that you run not with them the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Why don't you want to come drink with us? Why don't you want to go to our party? Why don't you want to go to that show? Why don't you want to attend? You know, sometimes just being in the wrong place, you don't have to do anything wrong. Just be in the wrong place will just really kill your testimony with some people. I remember one time I had a principal I liked very well, and I led him to the Lord. And they gave him a birthday party, and I had a Bible I was going to give to him, a nice big leather Bible. And it was sort of, I almost had to go to this party. Well, the party was at a bar. And I didn't get any alcohol to drink, but my Coke looked just like their stuff. It didn't look any different. I thought, what am I doing here? So I went up to him and said, you know, I really have to leave. Here's your present. I thank the Lord that you've trusted the Lord as your Savior. And I got out. Why? because they couldn't tell but what was in my Coke was liquor. Now, I don't drink anymore. I don't even social drink. My worst is NyQuil. What's that, about 80 proof? They wonder why you don't go the same places they go, why you don't talk like they talk. Because God, the Holy Spirit, is in you and He has changed some things in you. You can't be comfortable there. Is that true? It is for me. I'm sitting there with that Coke and that glass and I'm thinking I look just like all the rest of them. I did not like being in there. I don't look, I went into some bars and preached in some bars after I got saved. But after a while, I sort of gave up on that. I didn't like it quite as well. Yeah, there's sinners there that need to be saved, but they probably weren't sober enough to understand it. Now, again, when we're talking about what the Holy Spirit does, it reproves of judgment. Now, think about this. We're all headed for a judgment. All of us. All the world is headed for a judgment. Now, they don't want to believe it. They don't want to accept it, but it's true. And everyone in this room is headed for a judgment. No way to get out of it. That's because of the Holy Spirit. Look at Romans 2:16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. The secrets of men. There are a lot of secrets. Amen. There are no good secrets. Only time you can have a good secret between three people if one of them or two of them are dead. Secrets don't last very long. But they've all. We just have a desire to say something. Do you know? Do you know that I've experienced this? I can tell you from a fact. I know. We're going to tell secrets to get ourselves in good with somebody else. I don't know why it's bad. You can't keep secrets. And by the way, you can't keep secrets from God. The Holy Spirit's in you. He's in your mind. He fills your mind. He fills your heart. He fills your emotions. He lives inside of you. One of the greatest things about the gospel is this. Christ in you. That's your hope of glory. Christ in you to help you. Wow, what a tremendous blessing. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men. Do you know? All your secrets, you kept it so good, nobody knew. Every once in a while, we read about somebody in the paper, he's going to jail or prison or got killed or something because he was living a different life. A secret life. A bad thing. Well, let me tell you what. God's going to judge all your secrets. So that's first thing. Not only every idle word, but every secret you got. Let me show you another judgment. Look at Romans 14:12. Romans 14, read verse 11 too. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Every one of us is going to give account of himself. All preachers will have a harsher judgment. We're responsible. And then no doubt we're going to be held responsible to a higher standard. But every single one of us is going to give account of himself. Every tub sits on its own bottom. You can't stand in my place, and I can't stand in your place. Like now, when my kids were little, Because I was raising them up. Yes, I was their dad. I was responsible. Yes, I taught them. Yes, I failed here. Yes, I failed there. And I might have to answer to a judge or something. I never did, but I might have to, because I'd be responsible. When it comes to going before God Almighty, you're on your own. Well, let me tell you, you might at 18 or 19 be able to blame your parents for yourself. It's their fault I'm this way. It's their fault I didn't do this. They didn't do this right. But you're 25? Forget it. You can't blame them for what you are. You are what you are because you want to be where you are. Even if you're crazy in the head and you're thinking wrong, well, bless your heart, you keep on doing that instead of doing something about it. Sooner or later, the responsibility rests with you, and you will answer to God for whatever you are. Every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And then if you look at 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Everybody is going to a judgment. And when the Holy Spirit pointed that out to me, I'm telling you, it scared the living daylights out of me. I'm going to stand before God and answer for every word that I speak, every deed that I've done, every thought that I've got, how much I've obeyed and how much I've disobeyed, how much I've handled my responsibility or I haven't. And the world is scared to death of a judgment. Praise the Lord, let it come. Maybe it's time for the rapture. I'm willing. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of God. Judgment seat of Christ. Now, if you remember, Paul used this again in Acts 24. Look at Acts 24:24. Now, the same formula that Jesus gave in John 16, Paul pretty well used it as a sermon for Felix. Felix had a Jewish wife, so he understood a lot about the Bible and the prophets and some of those things, and Paul knew it. I'll start reading it, 24:24 of Acts. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he, Paul, reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He reasoned of righteousness, that Felix wasn't righteous. His wife wasn't righteous. Jesus was righteous. All men are sinners. Only one righteous man, only one good man, only one substitute man that there is and can possibly be is the Lord Jesus Christ. He reasoned of righteousness. And Felix, you know you're not righteous. The judgments you make, the compromises you make to be where you are and do what you do, you're not righteous. Temperance is self-control. How much self-control do you really have? We're pretty bad, aren't we? How long do your New Year's resolutions last? How many diets have you been on? Have you ever gotten to the place like me to think none of them are ever going to work? I can lose weight. I've lost 40 pounds at a time. I put it all back on because I don't change the way I eat just for those days. just for that time. I ought to lose it, and then I could eat anything I want, you know, and still be happy. Well, there's certainly a few of you are with me on that, aren't you? How do you do on temperance? What is your self-control like? Are you going to have to answer for your adultery? Are you going to have to answer for your fornication? Are you going to have to answer for the thoughts of your mind? Yeah, you are. Yes, you are. He reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and oh, this one, judgment to come. I may be standing before you today as judge, Felix. You're my judge. You can hold me in prison. You can turn me loose. But there comes a day in the very near future. Won't be long. And it happened over 2,000 years ago now. Already done. It's finished. You're going to stand before a judge. Judgment's to come. And you're going to be judged, and you won't even have a lawyer. You won't have anybody to stand there. It won't make a difference that you're a Roman consul. Judgment to come. I like what Felix said. He trembled. And he said, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. It is never, never a convenient season to take Christ. Every time you come to the place to accept Christ as your Savior, there are all sorts of problems. All sorts of people you're going to hurt. All sorts of people you're going to offend. People that are going to separate from you and your friends, separate from you and your family. There are no convenient seasons. Felix is thinking, when I get a convenient season, it's not convenient today. It's not convenient right now. When I get a convenient season, Felix probably went to hell. I don't know. I don't hear much more about him. He's in history for a few brief verses. Well, what about you? Are you saved? Is the Holy Spirit residing in you? Is he trying to get your attention? Has he reasoned of righteousness with you? About your life and your lifestyle and your words and what you say and what you do and how you live. Has he reasoned with you? Has he told you there's a judgment to come that you can't escape? A judgment from God Almighty that knows all the secrets of men. Right now is the only convenient time you'll ever have to get right with God. You know why it's convenient? Because the Holy Spirit is in this room. Why it's convenient? Because the Word of God is in this room. And God's Holy Spirit works with His Word to touch people's lives. I heard many, many sermons before I was really touched, moved upon by the Spirit of God. I think you probably have had the same experience. You went through a whole lot of them. It didn't matter. They didn't touch you. They didn't move you. They didn't change you. And then all of a sudden, one day, He singled you out. And you knew it. God's dealing with my heart. He's dealing with me. God's coming, and He wants inside and in control of me. And that was your opportunity to say yes or no. And if you're saved, you said yes. Now, the Holy Spirit's still in you. And the Holy Spirit wants to control you. He wants to bless you. He wants to give you a life beyond imagination. He wants to bless you and your family and your children. But the only way He can do it is if you listen to Him and obey. Maybe some of you in here today, the Holy Spirit of God has touched your heart. I don't know. I don't know. I don't have any power. I can't control who the Spirit of God moves upon. I just believe that when I preach this word, the Holy Spirit will be with this word, and it'll touch some heart, some mind, some life. I honestly think I'm still alive. I shouldn't be alive. I think I'm still alive because it's my job to touch one more person at least. Maybe you're here today. You can be saved today, have all your sins forgiven, have your life literally changed forever. Yes, it may cost you dearly. It costs everybody that gets saved. It costs everybody. Everybody pays a price. Would you come to Christ today? You've seen what the Holy Spirit does. This is His job. That's right out of the Bible right there. This is what the Holy Spirit's purpose is. And He came to touch you and change you and bless you and fill you with the greatest life you could possibly have. That's His purpose. Will you listen to Him today? I give an invitation, but I can't reach your heart. I can't touch you inside, but the Holy Spirit can. Will you listen to Him today? Christian friend, will you repent of your sin? Will you ask God to forgive you? Will you turn your life over to Him? Will you quit playing around with sin? Whatever burden God's placed on your heart. This altar's open. We always leave it as it is here. This is not exactly a mourner's bench, but it's as comfortable. But it's a place that you can move and talk to God. If you need to be saved today and God's touched your heart, come on down here and grab my hand and tell me that. I want to be saved. If I can't help you, I'll get somebody that can. My Christian friend, if God has touched your heart with a burden, then why don't you come on down and just get on your knees and get right with God. Let God have it. Turn it over. Judgment day is coming. One of these days, get that sin confessed and out of the way. Let's sing Pass Me Not. 235. Thank you.